saying, get away from me. I'm no altruist. Don't try to glom onto me. You have no claim upon me. Well, since love is a marketplace phenomenon, let's transfer the principle to another area of the market. Suppose you own a store and one day a potential customer walks in. He asks if you carry a certain item and you say, yes, it's right over there on the shelf. You can go right over and pick it up. And he says, oh, thank goodness I found you. You're wonderful. I've been searching throughout the market for this. I need it so much. And you're the only one who has it. Well, now I ask you, would you respond to this by saying, get away from me. I'm no altruist. Don't try to glom onto me. You have no claim on my store. Well, if you did, of course, the individual would think you were probably out of your mind. Because why would you turn down an obvious sale when the demand for your service is so high? The fact that he said he needed you or what you have does not mean that he expected you to give it to him for nothing. And neither does the potential lover who says that she needs you mean that that person expects you to just give it to her because she needs it. The mistake comes in automatically equating need with something for nothing. In the marketplace, the greater the need, the greater the opportunity for the supplier, because it means a higher price will be paid to get whatever it is he has to offer. Well, how is this going to differ in love? If the other person needs you so much, you ought to be gratified, not scared, because this means she will pay a greater price in order to have you. And the chances are that if she is intelligent and sees a need for what you have, if you'll open your eyes, you'll probably see that she undoubtedly has an awful lot of what you feel you need in life. Need is a perfectly legitimate market factor. It is simply one way of expressing demand, the use of the word. It merely presupposes an objective. That's the word need, merely presupposes that there is some objective that the individual wants to fulfill. If your objective is to get green grass, then you're going to need water. It doesn't automatically tell you from what source you'll get the water. It doesn't tell you that you have to have green grass. It only says that if you want green grass, you're going to have water to get it. You need water. Are you too self-sufficient to need anything in life? Even water for your lawn? Obviously not. Everyone needs various things because he presupposes objectives. You need air in order to live if you want to live. You don't have to live, but once having determined that that's what you want to do, then you're going to have to need air in order to live, I think. If you expect that someone else is going to give you what you want just because you need it, then of course you're not going to obtain very much happiness in this world. And if someone else expects you to give them something just because he needs it, then you probably don't want to be very close to that person because his values are not very compatible with yours. But don't be afraid of the word need. It's truly an opportunity for any alert entrepreneur in any field. Well, now, how do these other economic principles apply to the question of love? Well, we were looking at the concept of competition a few moments ago, and it is certainly a very important part of a realistic understanding of love. The nature of love is perhaps more mutual than even the most celebrated mutually profitable exchange, because the normal exchange is created by the differences in values between individuals. It's the fact that happiness is relative that makes mutually profitable exchanges possible. But the love relationship is based upon the mutual sharing of values and principles, meaning that it is really the similarity that has brought you to this individual more than the differences between you. This, of course, goes against the old cliche that opposites attract. Perhaps they do, especially at a relatively low respect for reality. But even there, relationships that are based upon that cliche are going to be stormy and insecure, because it's much easier to find a third it would be much easier to find a third party who is even more opposite than it would be to find a third party who was even more similar, and therefore would be a threat to the relationship. As I attempted to demonstrate last week, I believe that it is this mutual view of the world that creates the physical sensitivity that we call romance. And as two individuals find that they see the world pretty much in the same way, and of course uniquely so compared to the other individuals around them, as they see this mutual view of the world and as they feel this romance for each other, they then grow together to a certain extent from that point onward as they explore new knowledge together and come to some conclusions together and discuss things together and add all of this to their previous understanding. Now, as the individual sizes up this relationship,